WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? TGIF, that's right. It is Friday, July 24th, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We cap your week off with a fantastic show as we'll be chatting with James Moore, former Michigan State tailback and founder of the SWAP Youth Football Camp that will be taking place this weekend on Saturday and Sunday morning from 9 to 12 p.m. James will talk about that camp and also break down his analysis and thoughts on the Braxton Miller situation. Braxton Miller switching from the quarterback position to a wide receiver for the Ohio State, I should say national champion, Ohio State Buckeye college football team. We'll also break that down. David Price, it's being reported that, he won't be with the Tigers next year. No brainer there. We'll dissect that. And we'll also have Reflection Friday for you. And also talk about Brazil upsetting the U.S. of A. in yesterday's Pan-American Games. Interesting stuff, folks. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this July 24th. All right, we start with first news from the Lansing Catholic High School Athletic Department. They announced on Tuesday, actually, that Chris Piechuk will be the school's new director of athletics and student discipline. Piechuk, who has a bachelor's degree in business administration from Northwood University, was named the first president of the Catholic Youth Activities Conference in 2012. In addition, he's had experience as an assistant cross-country coach, basketball games manager, and has run several Michigan High School Athletic Association tournaments in various sports. Lansing native and former Atlanta Braves pitcher John Smoltz will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York on Sunday, joining Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, and Craig Biggio in the Cooperstown class of 2015. Smoltz was outstanding during his career. He pitched all but one of his 21 seasons with the Braves, retiring with a record of 213-155 with a 3.33 ERA, 154 saves, and 3,084 strikeouts. Wow, what a moment for him. What a career for him as well. And what was a showcase of starting pitchers for much of Thursday's contest at Comerica Park. The Seattle Mariners backup catcher Mike Zunino took the spotlight with a defensive double in the 12th inning of a 3-2 victory over the Tigers. Now, David Price was excellent over 8-plus innings, allowing a solo homer to Kyle Seager in the second at-bat of the game, but bearing down from there, right-hander Justin Verlander faces Rick Porcello, former Detroit Tiger, of course his former teammate, as Detroit begins a 3-game series at Boston. First pitch is set for 7:10 p.m. And speaking of David Price, the sweepstakes for the Tigers ace will likely last until just before the non-waiver trade deadline next Friday. Privately, Detroit is saying it won't make a decision on Price's fate until next week. That's according to USA Today's Bob Nightingale. Now, the Tigers have publicly said one way or another, they'll be buyers or sellers. They haven't said whether or not they will be buyers or sellers officially. All right, Dominican major leaguers and the players union are demanding an apology or other action from outgoing ESPN host Colin Cowherd, who may have insulted a whole country with his on-air comments on Thursday. Talking on his national radio show, which is simulcast on ESPNU, Cowherd was making a point about whether a general manager had the capability of stepping down from the executive office and adeptly handling managerial duties, as the Miami Marlins' Dan Jennings has been asked to do this season.
I mean, the Marlins put a general manager in their dugout. People freaked out. You know, like, whoa! It's baseball. You don't think a general manager can manage? Like, it's impossible? The game is too complex? Like, I've never bought into that baseball's just too complex. Really? A third of the sport is from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, no. Colin, you can't say that. You cannot say that. Of course, Colin Cowherd is leaving ESPN very soon and will be taking his talents to Fox Sports. I guess he's trying to go out with a bang. My goodness, those comments were just, are you kidding me? All right, after missing the entire 2014-15 season due to a shoulder injury that required surgery, Ohio State's Braxton Miller is changing positions. The former Buckeyes quarterback is making the switch to H-back, which is a hybrid receiving position, which he believes is the best way for him to help his team repeat as national champions. This now leaves a two-man race for the starting QB position to be battled out by Cardale Jones and JT Barrett. Brazil knocked off the USA in the final pool play game of the Pan American Games men's basketball tourney on Thursday in Toronto. Michigan State star Denzel Valentine played just a little over 2 minutes and did not record a point, assist, nor rebound. He did attempt a shot. He didn't attempt a shot nor a free throw as well. USA will now play Canada in the semifinals at 6 p.m. tonight. Brazil will take on the Dominican Republic. The winners will play in the gold medal game on Saturday. And after the Bulls pulled the plug on the Instagram post touting a ladies-only party thrown by running back LeSean McCoy, it was unclear whether the ladies-only party would proceed. Reportedly, it will, according to Mayor McEver of Philly.com. Quote, this is 100% a private party at a private location. We are being very selective with who we invite. We don't want a bunch of random guys who doesn't know showing up, McCoy's publicist Damian Jordan told McKeever. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, to express anything on your sports noggin.
Comes the second out of the inning, and he's 0 for 4. You're ever going to do it. Do it now. But no. High in the air to left center to Mitchell. 0-2 to the batter. And to the first baseman, Hunter. And that's it for Atlanta. They won last night. They won this evening. And John Smoltz has pitched Atlanta into the World Series.
John Smoltz, congratulations, my brother. Wow, that was a vintage moment from one of the best pitchers the game has ever seen. Lansing's own John Smoltz will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York on Sunday. What you just heard was actually a bite from October 5th, 1991, just 2 days before Actually, I turned 1 year old. Smoltz going the distance to beat the Astros 5-2 as the Atlanta Braves coined the NL West title, heading to the World Series. Was he good or what? Oh, my goodness. Congratulations to John Smoltz, though. Of course, John Smoltz, he was born, actually, in Warren, Michigan. And, you know, he went to, actually, Waverly High School right here in the area. And, you know, I always, you know, my jaw always drops anytime that I see that vintage footage of John, you know, hitting that game-winning home run in the Diamond Classic right here in the area when he was, balling out for Waverly High School. The only footage of that moment actually is, owned by Fred Heumann at Channel 6, and Fred plays it nonstop whenever he can. And, you know, seeing that moment, the moment in which, you know, looking at all the accolades that John Smoltz had, throughout his entire baseball career. John says and repeatedly says that that moment at the Diamond Classic, hitting that game-winning home run at that famed, in one of the most entertaining high school sporting events in the area at the Diamond Classic, hitting that home run to propel Waverly to that championship, that is his favorite moment in his baseball career. So salute to John Smoltz in a very, very impressive class. I mean, across the board, I mean, these four individuals, you're talking about Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Craig Biggio, along with Smoltz. I mean, all four big names who were really, you know, faces of the game during their playing careers, as well as a Hall of Famer should be, right? And John Smoltz, I mean, his career, I mean, you could just go on and on and on and on and on with accomplishments. He's actually the only pitcher in baseball history with at least 200 wins and 100 saves. Again, the only pitcher in baseball history with at least 200 wins and 100 saves. And he will actually be the only pitcher to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame after undergoing Tommy John surgery. It takes a lot. Resiliency, thy name is John Smoltz, and he certainly enacted that throughout his entire career. Of course, he also won the Silver Slugger Award in 1997. He was a 1995 World Series champion. He won the Roberto Clemente Award in 2005. The Atlanta Braves actually retired his number 29 number on June 8th of 2012. And it's so cool because, you know, Smoltz being right here from Lansing, from mid-Michigan, it just means a lot to the people from around this area who knew John growing up, who saw, you know, this young man evolve into one of the greatest players in baseball history. My goodness. Again, I was a little tight when John was in the heyday of his career. But looking back at the footage and looking back at his accomplishments, wow. I wish I could turn back the hands of time right now, right? I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, I mean, actually, this is your first year covering the Diamond Classic. Isn't it kind of like a pinch-me moment to know that John Smoltz played in that tournament?
It's incredible because you see, you go out to the Diamond Classic and you see all these hopeful young baseball players, some of who are really good, and you can tell that they're going to be playing at the college level in a couple of years. But at the same time, it's just a high school tournament. So it's amazing to think what's come from that, what's grown out of the Diamond Classic. John Smoltz, one of the greater pitchers of our era, Al. And you look at it, he's the only pitcher in baseball history to ever have 200 wins and 100 saves.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 150 saves, 154 to be exact.
Exactly.
So, also, though, before I go any further, I'd just like to offer up my condolences to the people of Lafayette, Louisiana. Of course, there was the senseless theater shooting there.
Yeah.
So, me being from Louisiana, I really feel that, and it's a tough thing to cope with. I mean, some people just do stupid things.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of sick people in this world, and that shooting actually comes not too long ago from when the ruling for another theater shooting took place a few years ago, right before the screening of Batman and Dark Knight Rises, and 12 people were killed, and I believe 3 people were killed in that shooting out in Lafayette. So certainly thoughts and condolences out there. Again, that has to have a personal touch to you, Isaac, because you are from that area. So yeah, very, very well said, Isaac, and thank you for that. And really briefly, before we move on, to go back to those being inducted into the Hall of Fame, again, you talk about Randy Johnson, Craig Biggio, Pedro Martinez, and John Smoltz. You know, a point was made by a few individuals, more specifically, I saw it actually on ESPN, and they were just kind of just, you know, running down these four individuals' accomplishments and why they deserve to be in Cooperstown and to be inducted on Sunday. And, you know, a point that, you know, I think, you know, it certainly needs to be highlighted is that, I mean, these guys were great players during the time where performance-enhancing drugs really started to make way, really during the height of the steroid era, which is kind of, you know, is loosely defined as a 20-year period that began in the mid to late 80s, certainly went through the 90s, and we all know about the recollections of certain players who have been caught using steroids over their playing days. But these were four guys who, from what we know, did it the right way, and dominated their respective positions in a game in which you just didn't know who was juicing. You know, other players out there trying to get that edge, you know, when it comes to their power, their speed, their agility within the game of baseball. But these guys did it the right way and were great at what they did. And again, going back to John Smoltz, I mean, this is a guy who had Tommy John surgery. For a lot of pitchers in the game, Isaac, I mean, you pronounce a pitcher dead in some ways after having Tommy John surgery. But for John Smoltz to have the surgery and to go out there and to produce and elevate his game in many, many ways, you just don't see that. And he was sort of just a freak of nature. So congrats to John.
Yeah, John Smoltz, like we said, he's not only a revolutionary pitcher, but he's one of the best of the era. And when you look at his stats, what he was able to accomplish, how good of a hitter he was mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah,
it's really something that's gone by the wayside. We don't see pitchers like that anymore. He did it the right way. Like you said, he played 20 of his 21 seasons on the same team. So he's loyal, played the game the right way, and really a stand-up figure too.
Yeah, certainly. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Everyone's talking about this from the college football wheelhouse. Of course, the Ohio State Buckeyes college football team who won the national championship last year, defeating Oregon in the first ever college football playoff. We saw the great Cardale Jones lead the team and put the bow in the season by just really putting on a fantastic performance to lead the Buckeyes to that championship. They actually had two quarterbacks throughout the year. Braxton Miller actually got hurt right before the season started. And then, who comes in? You know, JT Barrett comes in and performs unbelievably. He goes down, and Cardale Jones comes in near the end of the year to bring the championship on home. Yeah, and we've had the discussion ever since the Buckeyes have won that championship as to what exactly Urban Meyer, head coach of the Buckeyes, is going to do next year, because he has three guys that legitimately you can make a case for that should be the starting quarterback of that team. But now the decision becomes a little bit more easier, because the guy who missed, the bulk of the season happened to be Braxton Miller. And, he goes down after that shoulder injury. But he made a really game-changing decision yesterday, saying that he will make a switch from the quarterback position and will now move to an H-back position, which is basically a hybrid position. One of the more notable players that really stands out in my mind when I heard about Braxton Miller making this move is, of course, Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin is a guy who, you see him in the backfield sometimes as running back. You see him playing wide receiver sometimes. He's a guy who can really do it all. And that's basically what Braxton Miller is going to do. And I think it's a smart move. I think he made the move because his shoulder is also, that's going to be a problem for him moving forward if he was to play quarterback. And him making this move, first off, he's athletic enough to do it. Second off, I don't think he would have been a quarterback if he would have stuck to the quarterback position, period, in college football, once he made and tried to test the waters of his NFL ranks, which he will do very, very soon. He won't be a quarterback in the NFL. A guy who's so athletic and has the athletic intangibles that Braxton Miller has and can do multiple things, an NFL executive, GM, or coach is not going to put him as the quarterback. Maybe they do, though. Maybe they do, and could probably at least draw up different formations for him to be used as a quarterback certain parts of the game. But Braxton Miller is one of those guys who's so athletic, you just don't want to hone him to just one position. I think this was a very smart move from him, and especially when you look at the competition here, JT Barrett and Cardale Jones, two guys who had fantastic years. Cardale Jones' sample size, much smaller than what JT Barrett did last year, but still, he won a national championship. With that cloud of not knowing if you are going to come back and be the starting quarterback here, why not try out a different position, a position in which you know that you pretty much will start on the heels of next year? So I think it's a great move here. Also really surprising from this standpoint, Isaac, because when you talk about the quarterback position, let's call it like it is. The quarterback position is the most important position out there on the football field because, the quarterback is out there making the different reads, checking plays. He has the ball in his hands when that play starts, and he gets the wheels moving, and ideally is looked at as the leader on the squad. When you have that, someone playing the quarterback position and stepping into that role of leadership, there aren't a lot of guys that would give that up, Isaac. If they are going to give it up, they're going to give it up kicking and screaming, and you're going to have to just say you're not going to play that position. You're at least going to go down fighting. it was surprising to me and showed a lot of maturity on the side of Braxton Miller to say, hey, all right, I'll move my position here. I set out all of last year, JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, they're fantastic quarterbacks. Let them battle it out, but I will still be amongst the starting lineup by making this move. It was a very mature move by him because there aren't a lot of people that would have done that.
Mature, dedicated, loyal to Ohio State, all of the above. Because Braxton Miller also, it's not like he left and was short on options where he could go. He had scholarship offers or transfer options from LSU, Florida State, who he would have been national contenders with immediately, would have been able to start at quarterback. And he said, I'm a Buckeye. So shout out to Braxton just for his loyalty. And I think this is a great move for him. Braxton Miller is a one in a million athlete, really a freak of nature, who can play that receiver position. We saw it a couple of years ago when Cam Newton, sometimes when Auburn played the Wildcat formation, he would try his go at receiver, and he made this one outstanding catch. And so some of these athletes really can do different positions on the field. I think this is a great move for Braxton, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he surprises us and is one of the better receivers in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, we saw when he was a starting quarterback for Ohio State, what really stands out in my mind was a game I got to cover, the Big Ten championship game, Michigan State versus Ohio State out in Indy 2 years ago. I remember being out there, and of course, Braxton Miller put on a show in that second half and really just kind of took over for the Buckeyes. When the ball was hiked to him, he didn't make miraculous throws down the field. He burned Michigan State with his feet. So you're going to see him a lot in the slot, you know, as a receiver. You're going to see him, you know, as a running back as well. And this is going to allow Braxton Miller to have a platform to showcase to the NFL people out there, to show them what he can do, especially from an athletic standpoint, because Braxton Miller is just freakishly athletic. So this is a great move on his part, and he will be, again, one of the better players in college football because he is just that good, folks. Now it comes down to Cardale Jones and JT Barrett. For me, I think personally that JT Barrett has that edge because he played more games. We got a chance to see what JT could do throughout more games. It's a bigger sample size. Going back to that, those two words, sample size here. JT Barrett played in more games. He was fantastic in those games. Cardale Jones, yeah, he came in. He played in the national championship game. He led the Buckeyes to a championship. So, yes, you definitely have to give this kid a shot at that position as well. And it's going to come down to what these kids can do in training camp, throughout practice, and Urban Meyer will make the decision. But from a media standpoint, from the outside looking in, based on what we saw from JT Barrett, based on what I saw from JT Barrett, and I got a chance to see him up close too, right on the field when they took on Michigan State, if you remember, near the end of last season, and JT Barrett just put on a show, despite the knock on him, which is his height and his size, JT Barrett is unbelievable. So I'm interested to see what happens in training camp, but I would expect that Barrett may have the slight edge in this competition, Isaac.
Ow, I actually have to disagree. Now, I think JT Barrett should get the starting job. I think he's a better quarterback than Cardale Jones. Cardale did a great job running that offense. But when you just look at how the game is played, JT was more efficient. I think he's more versatile. He allows fast quarterbacks are such a threat, such a weapon in college football. And Cardale's strong. But if you want a quarterback that can get out of the pocket and is strong, then Braxton's your guy. But JT Barrett is so fast, so maneuverable, so elusive. Not to mention, he throws it incredibly. He was absolutely phenomenal throughout the season. So he's my pick for the Ohio State quarterback. However, I think Cardale has the edge because when a guy wins a national championship and doing it beats Oregon, beats Alabama, Alabama being a team that really nobody thought was going to lose in this playoff, and nobody thought Ohio State would make it. So those two quality wins, I have to say, I think JT is the better quarterback. I think those two quality wins might trump everything that JT did, even if they don't deserve to.
Well, I always say when you break down a quarterback competition, what trumps everything is what they can showcase in practices, in training camp. And also, it's more than what these guys can do on the field as well, Isaac. I also think that the leadership part of this whole thing as well. I don't know how both of these individuals handle a locker room. Again, JT Barrett, he played in more games last year, and he showed a lot of leadership qualities, at least in-game qualities, at least. I'm not sure how his locker room presence was, but they won games, so I'm pretty sure that his teammates rallied around him and looked at him as a great leader. Cardale Jones, you know, having to step into that role during the end of last season, again, he may have stepped into that role and felt very comfortable with being the leader of vocally, emotionally, throughout that game. But again, JT Barrett showed that he did it, you know, throughout more games looking at last year. So I would think he would be that guy. But leadership is also another thing, because I'm pretty sure that Urban Meyer, when you talk about the quarterback position, you have to be a leader. You have to rally your troops. Your troops have to look at you as the guy. And who they look up to the most, that's also going to come into conversation as well, I do believe.
Well, yeah, Al, like you said, who they look up to is a big deal, because last year it took some work for JT to transform this into his team from Braxton Miller, one of the best Big Ten quarterbacks that Ohio State's or that the Big Ten's seen in the past few years, and one of Ohio State's best quarterbacks in the Urban Meyer era, probably the best. So anyway, it took some work for JT Barrett to transform this into his team, and I think he did last year. So, like you said, that part of leadership also plays a huge role, and I'd expect JT Barrett, that you could also see them split snaps next year. That's another option.
It is.
I think that's always tricky when a team goes to that, but at the same time, neither of these quarterbacks is going to be a bench rider.
I do believe that whoever is named as a starting quarterback for Ohio State, whoever is named as the runner up, you know, the second tier guy, he's still going to get playing time. I do believe, and will still be a part of that Ohio State offense. And I'm also told that Braxton Miller will also be receiving punt returns as well. So Braxton Miller is going to be doing a lot next year, and it's a good thing that he is. I'm pretty sure he's chomping at the bit to get back, seeing as though he sat out all of last year. So, all right, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break here and bring on James Moore, welcome him to the show. I want to talk about, really briefly here, Josh Smith and his comments, his just mind-boggling comments concerning his NBA contract. Now, of course, Smith signed a free agent contract for $1.5 million, but will get another $5.4 million with his deal from the Pistons. That's around $6.9 million total. Of course, he's going from the LA Clippers. Well, he's going to the LA Clippers, excuse me. And we all know about the trade that Detroit had with the Houston Rockets. He went over to Houston, played last year with Houston, and now he's with the LA Clippers. And he's ideally taking a pay cut. This is what Josh Smith had to say at an introductory press conference with the Clippers on Tuesday. Quote, at the end of the day, you know, I do have a family. So it is going to be a little harder on me this year, but I'm going to push through it, you know? Are you kidding me? Isaac, I have a problem when any professional athlete or any person, period, who is a millionaire, who's making millions of dollars, especially to play a game, of all things, you go out there and basically get to have fun every single day on your job. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you go out there and you play a game and get paid millions of dollars to do so. You're telling me because you got to take a bit of a pay cut, making a few million dollars less than what you were making, that's going to be hard on your family? Are you kidding me? Do you know how many people out there are starving overseas? Do you know how many people are struggling to make ends meet and can't pay their rent and bills on time? And you're telling me this is going to be a little harder on your family because you are making a few million dollars less than what you were? It upset me. Really upset me to hear these comments come from Josh Smith.
I have a huge issue with this. I think it's an embarrassment, frankly, to the NBA, because the thing is, like you said, there are people starving. There are people without houses, and there are people who are getting by on $10,000, $20,000 a year. That's a significant portion of America, and other countries are way worse off. So when you think about that, and Josh Smith is complaining about $6.2 or $3 million a year, whatever he's getting now, first off, that's a pay cut he chose to take. Second off, Josh Smith had one of the more lucrative deals in the NBA before when he came to the Pistons.
And that's the problem that I have. And that's the problem that I have, because a lot of these NBA guys, a lot of these professional athletes, and we've had this discussion as well, they blow money left and right. They go out there, and first off, when you make that amount of money, your family members come out of nowhere. They want a piece of the pie. You go out and you buy these expensive cars. You buy multiple houses. You're going out to the club and you're blowing money at different clubs left and right. That is on you. You are a grown man. You have to know how to budget your money and to have discipline, frankly. And you're telling me this is going to be hard on your family? In the immediate, I want to end this rant by of course, having a nod to one of the most infamous rants when talking about feeding the family, that being, of course, Latrell Sprewell. We all know Sprewell played, he's a great player back in the 90s. Once he termed a three-year, $30 million deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves, he had to take a bit of a pay cut as his career went along. And then he goes on to say, quote, "I have to take a lot of risk here. I got a family to feed."
Oh, where are they shopping? Yeah, where exactly. Are they shopping for food if they've got family to feed?
I don't know, man. Let me go to break before I say something I shouldn't have said. Let's hit the first break. When we come back, James Moore, Michigan State, famed tailback, as well as founder of the Swap U Football Camp, which takes place this weekend, will join us on the phone. You don't want to miss that. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Again, folks, it is Friday. TGIF, so glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Friday to end your work week. Hopefully you guys have a great weekend. First off, before we get to our guests on today's show, I got to remind you all that, hey, last night Current Sports TV aired. If you missed my chat with Michigan State track and field star Torrey Franklin, all you got to do is crack open that laptop, open up your smartphone, or hey, maybe you have an iPad, and go to video.wkar.org. Again, that's video.wkar.org, and click the Current Sports TV icon, and boom, you can watch that episode or any episode that we have done in Current Sports TV history. So it was a great time sitting down with Torrey, and again, I extend a thank you to her for giving us her time this Wednesday afternoon. Well, let's get to another Current Sports TV alum. Of course, he is a good friend of the show. He's joined me on the airwaves multiple times, and it's always a fun chat anytime we have him on. And folks, I tell you what, the last time we had him on, get this, he walks through the door, right? And this had to be like, I want to say like a month ago, a month and some change. And, right before I brung him on, I noticed he had a bag, like it was a plastic bag. So he sits the bag down, he comes in, we do the interview, I wrap up the show, we chat after the show, and he's like, "Al, I brought you some of my famed salsa." Folks, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, all right, I'm a big salsa guy. I'm like, thank you so much, my man. And I go home, and I think that the following day, it wasn't that night, it was the following day, I just happened to be sitting at home watching Netflix, wanted a snack to enjoy while I was watching Daredevil on Netflix. And, I brought out the chips, I brought out the salsa, and folks, I kid you not, this salsa was the best salsa that I have ever had in my life. I don't know what he does to it, I don't know what he puts into it, but I'm hooked, and I'm like salivating at the mouth to get my my hands on the next jar. But I want to invite him to the show right now. You guys know and love him. Former Michigan State tailback and founder of the Swap U Football Camp, which takes place this weekend, James Moore. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Al. Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
You probably heard my rant just now about your salsa, man.
I did.
Oh, my goodness. Jay, I'm hoping. I'm coming out there tomorrow because we're doing a feature, actually, on the Swap U Football Camp, which I'm going to get to in just a sec. And I'm hoping that you got a jar ready for me.
I'm working on getting that ready for you tonight so I can have a jar ready for you tomorrow, okay? I can't let you down. You're pubbing me. You're pubbing it. I'm like, okay, let me take care of him. As a matter of fact, right. Give me more. Give me more coffee.
See that? See what I did? See what my plan was? See, I kind of baited you. You probably don't even have a jar ready. You got to do it tonight. See, I kind of baited you into having me one.
Exactly.
There you go.
It'll be fresh. It'll be fresh.
All right, James. First off, before we get to your youth football camp, I don't know if you heard the news, but everyone is talking about it. We just actually finished up our brief chat on it. But you follow college football, of course, pretty closely. I mean, you play for the Spartans, for goodness sake. One of the tailback greats in Spartan lore here on the gridiron. But, you know, the recent news of Braxton Miller, now former Ohio State quarterback, making the move and switch to H-back or wide receiver with the squad next year. It's now going to be a two-man horse race for that starting quarterback position between Cardale Jones and JT Barrett. Is this a smart move for Braxton Miller?
You know what, though? It is with the injury that he has, okay? Mm-hmm. Not being able to throw the ball with velocity and accuracy, okay?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a smart move, you know what I'm saying? He's an athlete.
Exactly,
and,
right.
You know, that's what you do, because I went from tailback to fullback because I had Lorenzo White, all right? So sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get on the field.
Yeah, and I want to bring up that. I mean, you making that move with Lorenzo, you know, when you have these position battles in the offseason, you know, to vie for that starting role or a different role, I should say, whatever the case may be for a respective football team, I mean, what's that competition like? And what was it like for you during your MSU playing days?
Well, mine wasn't that hard, okay, because, you know, Lorenzo had already established, I mean, one of the top running backs in the nation. My reason for changing my position to fullback was I wanted to see the field, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I didn't want to, you know, battle with him as a running back. I wanted to see the field. He was already a sophomore when I came in. So mine was different reasons, me changing from tailback to fullback.
Right.
When you get involved with injuries, you know, hey, that's part of the game. You're going to – in any position – I mean, he's going to have to battle somebody for that receiving position, okay? It's mm-hmm. not going to be just given to him, you know?
Right.
Just like with quarterback. You got three quarterbacks there. So with his shoulder injury not being able to throw like he used to throw, he's going to receiver. He's
right.
still going to have to battle some receivers at that position already.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, looking at that quarterback battle between Barrett and Jones, who do you think is going to win that out?
I think Barrett is. I mean, the way he ended the season up last year, winning the national championship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends. But then again, too, I can't say that because it depends on who did the work off season. Because you don't earn a position, you know, during the season. You earn it during the winter, when the winter months, and the conditioning, and the spring, and then the summer when you're conditioning. Who comes back in better shape? I mean, who has stepped their game up? So, you know, it's all going to have to play out when they go to camp.
Right, and that's going to be the end-all, be-all. Folks, if you just now are joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with James Moore, former Michigan State tailback and also founder of the SWAP Youth Football Camp, which will be taking place this weekend, starting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Talk about the SWAP Camp, the youth football camp taking place. This is the second annual camp for you, James. How is it going to be bigger and better this year?
You know, we should have more kids this year. I just want to continue to grow and reach these kids and just let them know that, you know, sports gives you three things: structure, order, and discipline, you know, and that's something that you're going to carry on in life. And we want to go out and have some fun, you know, do some speed agility drills, do some fundamental drills, and then bring in, like I said, police officers, firefighters, some attorneys, different business, prominent business people in the area to speak into these kids' life, because if we start drilling that stuff into their head now, they'll understand that, hey, you know, there's life after sports. And that's what it's all about. Having something between those ears, having a plan, setting out a plan, working it out, mapping it out, and putting it into action. So when that day comes that they can't play sports or can't do that anymore, they have the book smarts, the savvy to be able to step up and be ready for the real world, because the real world is really tough right now. It will chew you up and spit you out if you're not ready.
Yeah, yeah, that's certainly true. Now, James, again, this is going to take place at Sexton High School. For folks out there listening that want to get their kid involved, again, this is ages 7 to 14, am I right?
7 to 14. I'm going to be out there about 7:15, 7:30, start setting up. I'm going to start registration about 8:30, you know, getting kids registered. So we're ready to go at 9 o'clock. No early registration. Bring the kids out. First 50 kids will get a shirt. They get every kid to get a wristband, and we'll just go out and have some fun. Then on Sunday, I got a special treat for the kids. Afterwards, I got one of my old former Spartans going to come out and do some barbecue for the kids. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I got a couple kids coming from Indiana. My
wow.
neighbor.
Nice.
Yeah, my neighbor, his son is a big Michigan State fan, and he's an athlete. He's bringing his son up, and so I'm just really excited about it. You know, it's busy getting this stuff rolling, but I'm really excited. The second annual Swap Youth Football Minicamp.
Gotta love that. And James, I believe registration is at $30.
$30 per kid. $30 for 2 days, and we're really going to impact these kids' lives.
Gotta love that, James. And for you, I mean, you've been running around, my man, and making sure that flyers are up and made and banners and so on and so forth. What's been the toughest part of organizing this whole thing, especially this being your second year doing it?
The toughest part of it is the unknown. How many kids am I going to have show up?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
That's the biggest thing. But you know what, though? You know, one of my other sponsors that is my guy, you know, Jack Ebling.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Ebling said something to me last year, you know, about starting camps and doing camps. He did camps for years. You know, it doesn't matter how many kids you show up. You just go out and have fun with those kids that show up. So, you know, and that's what we did last year. We just had fun with the kids that showed up. And I'm going to do the same this year. But I really think that we'll have, you know, close to around 50, 60 kids. But if not, you know, I'm just going to keep plugging away, keep hitting the ground, keep this thing rolling, and it's gonna take off. And it's always good, however many kids I have, they have fun. And that's the bottom line.
Exactly. It's about impacting the lives of those who do show up, James. That's what matters most, my man. And I'm certainly looking forward to going out there and seeing, you know, how the first day goes. And, again, we'll be putting together a feature for Current Sports Television on next week, so you don't want to miss any of that. And, you know, James, this is kind of interesting and kind of cool because, again, this camp takes place in the summer. Of course, football season, the high school football season will be revving up very, very soon. I can't believe August is right around the corner. And, of course, you being an assistant coach for Rob Zimmerman and the DeWitt football team, high school football team, I mean, you know, does this kind of act as preparation, you know, for, you know, embarking on that endeavor for another year as well?
Not really, because, you know, I met with a bunch of kids at DeWitt when I went out and seen Justin Harding, who does our strength and conditioning coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to kids. I think I handed out like 25 flyers to those kids too, you know. And so it's like hand in hand. It goes together. I'm just not talking about the inner city kids. I'm talking about all these kids, this whole community. So we got kids coming from DeWitt. We got kids coming from East Lansing. We got kids coming from the inner city. This is what it's about. This is what SWAP is about, bringing us all together. And, you know, come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, we start our team camp at DeWitt. So, you know, football season is here.
Wow, I can't believe that, man. I tell you, soak up the sun while you can, folks.
Yeah.
All right, James. Well, I'm going to make sure to tweet out, you know, the information about the camp. Again, are you looking for any volunteers or just people that want to come out and support you with the camp as well?
You know, any volunteers, anybody wants to come out and help, I could always use a helping hand. Just meet me there at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and I'll be getting set up. And like I said, this is all about the community. Anybody want to come out and volunteer some time, come on out. We'll all have some fun.
Again, folks, that's tomorrow morning, starting tomorrow morning, a 2-day event
at Sexton High School. James Moore, former Michigan State tailback and founder of the SWAP Youth Football Camp. Again, thanks so much, James, for joining me on the airwaves. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Okay, hey, Al, I want to let you know, man, I really appreciate what you do for me, man. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, all right?
Hey, anytime, James. Thanks so much, bud.
Good, brother. Thank you.
All right, let's hit our second break.
Yep.
When we come back, folks, we will wrap up the week that has been here on Current Sports with Reflection Friday. And also, we'll recap a bit of that USA loss to Brazil. Oh, that was ugly, wasn't it? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. All right, folks, just under 15 minutes left in the show. Again, our phone lines are open. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Last night, of course, around, I want to say about 9 o'clock, I tuned into ESPN. And, of course, the Pan Am games are going on. And I've been paying close attention to how the United States men's basketball team has been performing, of course, out in Toronto. And yesterday, they competed against Brazil. I thought it was going to be another blowout. I thought it wasn't even going to be close. But Brazil came out firing on all cylinders. Another interesting storyline that that makes this you know, this team interesting from a mid-Michigan angle is, of course, Lansing native and Michigan State men's basketball star Denzel Valentine is also a member of the squad. Actually, the game before this one, he had 15 points, looked pretty good. But he only played a little over 2 minutes last night, didn't record a point, assist, nor rebound. He didn't even attempt a shot nor free throw. Former Detroit Pistons wing Damian Wilkins, who is the old Wiley veteran, who has been, you know, prior to last night's game, has been having a pretty good showing for the U.S. of A. He only had 4 points. Keith Langford actually led the team with 17 points. Get this, the Brazilian shot 53%, 31 for 59 from the field, and 58%, 15 for 26 from the three-point line, while out-rebounding the USA 32 to 28. Size was certainly a factor in last night's game. The American shot 45% and had just 5 assists on those 25 made buckets. So now they will play Canada in the semis tonight, 6 p.m. Brazil will take on the Dominican Republic. Brazil hasn't lost, neither has Canada, but Brazil will take on the Dominican Republic, and the winners of tonight. Tonight's two showdowns will play in the gold medal game tomorrow. So, and you know, Isaac, for me, and you've seen what has taken place in the Olympics when it comes to United States men's basketball team over the years. There have been years when they have struggled against certain teams internationally, because, to be frank with you, I think the conversation that comes up now is just how fundamentally sound the American game is in comparison to those, you know, internationally. And that's the big question. I mean, we heard comments about, you know, Kobe Bryant coming out and saying that the Americans, when it comes to their fundamentals, they are not up to par with those who play the game internationally. And I think knowing, now let's not get it twisted here, at the same time, the U.S. of A. has the world's best basketball players. LeBron James, you know, talents like, you know, Chris Paul and Derrick Rose and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. I mean, the American game has the best players. I don't think that's even an argument. But when you talk about the overall components of the game and how it's played,
especially from a team perspective. Hey, you can make an argument that internationally, hey, certain respective squads have a better overall game, especially from a fundamental standpoint. Last night was pretty surprising for me. Now, I think you have to, you know, temper those emotions because this isn't the creme de la creme of American basketball on this stage. I mean, you know, you got what, like, you know, a lot of college players playing, guys like Denzel Valentine, Melo Trimble. You got guys who are American but playing overseas. A guy like Bobby Brown, who's a standout for the Chinese Basketball Association, the CBA. So you don't have, you know, the Kevin Durants of the world, the Anthony Davises of the world playing in this tourney. But at the same time, hey, you would expect the Americans to steal, because these are still great basketball players here in America. You would expect them to go out there and get the job done. It was really just shocking for me to see the USA to struggle against Brazil.
Oh, it's not that shocking to me, to be honest, because like you said, the fundamentals overseas, it's kind of like how basketball was maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago in America, because it's still developing. The game is getting its roots, getting its foundation of fans overseas. But like you said, they're really fundamentally sound. And that's the difference. They're not these crazy athletes who are raised from age 3 to be basketball players, but they're very fundamentally sound. I remember in the last Olympics, Lithuania only lost to the U.S. team. And that was the team with LeBron, with Melo, with Anthony Davis, with Kevin Durant, all of those players. Lithuania lost by 2.
Mm-hmm.
Lithuania. So it goes to show sometimes fundamentals win basketball. That's why the Spurs win, and that's why Brazil won last night.
Yeah, and, you know, Denzel Valentine, that's the player I've been looking at, you know, more so closely than any other player on the squad, because he is a Michigan State men's basketball player. Again, playing over, you know, just over 2 minutes, not scoring a point, assist, nor rebound. The game prior to the last game he played, in which he had 15 points, I mean, he barely played in that match as well. So I don't know, you know, from a game perspective, Denzel Valentine right now is not making a tremendous impact on this squad. He's not starting. But at the same time, I do believe that this experience that he is gaining overseas is going to be beneficial for him, and also going to motivate him to become a better all-around player and leader. So overall, I think there are positive aspects to take away from this thing when you break down Denzel Valentine being a part of this team. So I'm going to be tuning in tonight. Again, they play Canada tonight. Who is 3-0. Canada hasn't lost. USA now is 2-1. Brazil will take on the Dominican Republic, and the winners will play in the gold medal game. So I'm gonna tune in at 6 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing if the USA, despite that loss to Brazil, can pull out the gold medal. Do you think they will, Isaac?
Oh, I think they could still, just because, like you said, at the end of the day, the U.S. is the premier basketball country, so I'd be surprised if they can't keep it up.
Yeah, I'm still going with them to win the entire enchilada as well. All right, 5 minutes left. We love to wrap up the week that was here on Current Sports by taking a look, you know, at the past 4 days here on the show and recapping some of our favorite moments, some of our favorite guests, and even stories, and even a few stories that we may not have gotten the chance to get to. Here we go. Time for Reflection Friday. All right, first off, I have to extend a big thank you to those who joined us on the show this week, starting with, of course, Jimmy Fiskus, Lansing United and Michigan State men's soccer player, who is entering now his sophomore year with the Michigan State men's soccer team. Jimmy was absolutely fantastic. Of course, Lansing United, they finished up their season against the Erie Commodores on Sunday at the East Lansing Soccer Complex, and it was great talking with Jimmy. We also had
The always entertaining Richard Kincaid, as he broke down really the entire year for the Tigers position by position with great insight. He doesn't think that David Price will be a part of the squad when looking at the trade deadline that comes up now just a week from today. Thanks a lot to Rich for coming on. Rich being a Detroit sports broadcaster. We had Torrey Franklin on the show as well. Torrey Franklin, Michigan State star of track and field, who just wrapped up her senior year with the Spartans. It was great chatting with Torrey on Current Sports TV. And I'm told that next week we have officially booked Darius Ward, who is the head coach of the Okemos High School girls soccer team. Darius will join me live on the air next week, Wednesday. So thanks so much. We had and also James Moore, who was a part of our show today. And James is a great friend of the show. Thanks a lot to James for joining me as well. So a fantastic slate of guests this week, Isaac.
Oh, it really was. My first reflection has to be on something you and I actually argued about rather vehemently after the show. And that's the value of Scottie Pippen. All right, so I pulled up for you statistical comparison of Sean Marion to Scottie Pippen because I don't think they're that different. Field goal percentage, Sean Marion shoots better. 3-point percentage, Sean Marion shoots better. Sean Marion only averages 0.7 less points per game. He averages more rebounds and 3 less assists, but he also had a great point guard like Steve Nash that, of course, Scottie Pippen did not have. They're very similar. When you have MJ, you look good. It's that easy.
Isaac, I wanted to end the week on a good note, and I'm harboring my anger right now that you would even have the audacity to compare Sean Marion, the Matrix.
I'm a brave guy, Al.
To Scottie Pippen. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me here. There's more to the game than just stats. And Scottie Pippen showed that throughout his playing career. I won't even go down there because we only got 2 minutes left in the show. But, we folks, you didn't get to hear our chat, but we had an elongated debate yesterday off the air when it comes to Scottie Pippen's greatness in basketball. So, okay, moving on, Isaac. I want to bring up the WWE, which reportedly is trying to cut ties with Hulk Hogan. One of the more, probably the most notable wrestler in the world of WWE. And, back in the day, it was called WWF. They have actually deleted most of their references to Hogan on its website and issued a statement Friday saying it had terminated its contract with one of the biggest stars in the history of professional boxing. As this story, unfolds, I'm going to be very interested to see what exactly took place that makes the WWE want to cut ties with its most recognizable face in Hulk Hogan. That's crazy, right?
Ow. Well, he supposedly went on a rant that was caught on air. Now, I'm not sure if the video is 100% legit, but it was obviously enough for the WWE to feel like they want to sever ties and lose all connections to Hulk Hogan. My last two reflections really quickly. Ty Lawson going to the Rockets, that makes them a championship contender. And Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa's brother, going to Ohio State, that team can't get any better.
I really hope Ty Lawson gets his alcoholism under control as well with those two DUIs. He's a heck of a player, but he's got to get that together. All right, well, that wraps up Reflection Friday, and that puts a bow on this week on WKAR's Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you guys out there for tuning in to today's show. Of course, Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and have a fantastic weekend, folks. Be easy, people.